Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you have tuned in to Cowboy Church, one of the most fantastic shows on TV, don't you think?
I think so. And sitting there here next to the fire, don't you feel
mm-hmm,
this like
I'm it's, telling you what.
We've cozied up to the fire. I noticed you have... Susie, are you a big game hunter?
Well, I'm not, but I know quite a few people who are, and those came off of our place.
Yeah.
And I was gifted those not too long ago.
Have a string between them.
Mm-hmm. You rattle them, and it brings the deer in. Yeah, like they're fighting, and they want to come together and come see what's happening, I guess.
Was that your job, to rattle the bones so that the deer would come in and they could shoot?
I've never done it, Russ, so I really couldn't tell you what that is. But yeah, it's something that happens here on this ranch for sure.
Well, I was thinking about those bones.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that those bones work is because God has built into deer to listen to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And those big bucks
mm-hmm.
listen for that kind of a sound.
Sure.
Because they're fighting over a girl.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And so that buck comes in and that's how you get the big bucks. And that's
mm-hmm.
how you get to shoot that. But those things become a tool for an
mm-hmm.
attractant.
Right.
For that to happen.
Right.
Have you ever thought, here's kind of abstract. Have you ever thought what kind of tools it takes to bring people to Jesus? What actually... the tools that we can
mm-hmm.
use
mm-hmm.
to attract people to the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Absolute genuine love.
Yeah.
Absolute genuine. No strings attached. No if you'll come to my church. No if you'll give or if you'll be my friend. It's a actual genuine love.
I think people can see if we're authentic too.
Mm-hmm.
If we're real.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ is really our priority, instead of us saying, well, my priorities are Jesus and my family
yeah.
and my church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But they see it lived out in people. I think that's real attracting to people.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Yes, I have had people say that to me and say it to other people. And, you know, it's just a genuine caring, a genuine stop to listen and feed into their life. Not just on certain basis, but just if we don't have time or not, you know, to feed into their life.
Well, people understand if they're a priority or not by whether or not we listen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so
absolutely.
I think it's important if we're going to attract people to Jesus, we have to hear
mm-hmm.
who they are
mm-hmm.
and what's going on
that's
with
right.
them. And maybe that's the bones rattling.
So what are the bones rattling in your life? What is that attracts you to Christ? It may be the ones that also would attract other people in your life to the Christ that lives within. Sit back and relax. We're going to have some singing. We're going to have some teaching. And we sure hope that you enjoy what you hear. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. This song right here was birthed out of a saying that we used to say a lot when we were kids. When somebody would hurt us and they would say mean things to us, we would say, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have anybody of y'all said that before? I have. But how untrue is that? The words will hurt you for forever if you let them. And they hurt to the very quick of your being. And so I wrote this line down, this idea, and then I wrote a line that came to me. I said, they cut just like a knife, but leave no scar that you can see. In other words, it's way down on the deep part of you. And I emailed it to my sister Reba, and I said, do you think this is a good theme for a song? Do you think that maybe you could help me write this song? She said, she right back at me, she said, send it to Autumn.
Now, Autumn is my brother's oldest daughter, and she's in Nashville. She's pursuing a career in country music, and she's also a writer. And she emailed me right back. She says, I love the idea. So her and Tim Matthews got together, and the three of us wrote this song. And it's about something that hurts us, and it leaves nothing on the outside that anybody could see, but it can destroy lives, especially young people who are being emotionally and verbally abused. So listen to the words of this song. Careful what you say to me. Be careful where you go. My skin's as thick as skin can be. I learned to make it so. I don't doubt you care for me. I can see you do. But love can hide in shadows when your words turn black and blue. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Whatever has been haunting you, I wish I could set it free. Then no more would I see your tears or hear apologies. Just more words of broken glass that burn just like the sun. And I don't know if we can fix the damage that's been done. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Quiet now and peaceful here, but will it be for long? The stillness in your eyes is like the calm before the storm. Sticks and stones sometimes break bones, but bones will heal in time. The things you say that you don't mean still echo in my mind. They cut just like a knife, but leave no scars that you can see. Except down in my heart, they take a part of you and me. Oh, a part of you and me. A part of you and me. Going on in your life, like I told you this morning right there in the church building, you've got a pastor here and he's got a heart for you. Amen.
In suicide is known as the most selfish act that you can commit, and if you've had family that's committed this, man, tenderly I step into this thing, but I'm going to tell you the cure for suicide. The world lives for themselves. The world lives for themselves. And suicide is the highest "I am selfish" act that can possibly happen. I haven't got it my way, so I'm gonna make everybody else suffer for not treating me right, and this is suicide. The truth of the matter is this. Paul had the cure. What he said is, I die daily. And what that means is that I become less important. And when I become small enough in my own importance, then I will find a gratification in life that no other thing could ever give, and it only happens at the altar. You cannot die anywhere else and find the gratification that you'll find at the altar. And Paul, every day, went to the altar and says, I have to die. I have to die to sin. I have to die to death. I have to die to all of the crud that the world has to offer, because that's the only way that we find life in Christ. I die daily. It's the cure. It's the cure. If you will die daily, it's the cure for suicide. I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a good part of the New Testament, if he had to die daily, you do. And the place that you die is on the altar. That's why they call it a sacrifice. I die to sin at the altar. Values are established. I'm going to read this verse down here, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. It says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, listen to this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. He didn't look at this. It says that I am the Lord, that he knows and understands me, that I am the Lord. He knows me. How do you know Christ? It begins at the altar. How do you learn who he really is? It continues at the altar. You begin to find life in the Word of God. We begin to find life. We begin to find peace. We begin to find a reason for our existence. We know God because of the altar. We find God because of the altar. We never find God anywhere else. God's priorities. This is our values established. Let's put our values in line here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and it says, then all these things will be added. What things? Doesn't matter. It's things. Our values first. God's priority is seek the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. You can't just come to God and say, oh, God, forgive me, keep me from going to hell, and go out and act like the same jerk you were before. That's not a true repentance. Repentance means to turn from that stuff. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness. The next thing it says this, here's your priorities. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, man, and this is where it gets me. I do pretty good at loving God with all of my heart. I'm going to tell you, that's my priority. But man, I live in a world full of knucklehead neighbors. I'm telling you, you open up Google, you turn your TV on, you open up any social media, and you will think, how do I love an idiot like that? How do I do that? You may live next to somebody who's just a knucklehead from hell. But the truth of the matter is, this, you know, when the Bible says, honor your father, and God will give you a long life, it doesn't put a qualifier in there. It doesn't say if he's a good father, if he's a bad father, if he's this. He says, honor your father, and I will bless you because of that. You know what he says about your neighbor? It says, love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say if he's a good guy or if he's a knucklehead. It says love him as yourself. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? How in the world do you do that? Sometimes I'd like to know. Sometimes I have trouble with that. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to prioritize God over yourself, it's time that we may consider prioritizing our neighbor over ourselves. This doesn't mean a total lack of intelligence to take care of your neighbor, but it means to be there when the neighbor needs it. And where in the world can we find peace from the world full of knuckleheads? At the altar. I'm going to tell you, before you ever have an encounter with somebody that needs the love of Jesus, you know where I'm going, you're ahead of me. Before we ever put up with that, or if it attacks you before, the place that you find it is on your knees at the altar, you can find what is needed to touch that person. Let me tell you about a neighbor I had when I was rodeoing. I have a friend of mine, Jerry Martin. He's been at our church. He was roping. And as he left the chute, his rope caught on the edge of the chute. And it came tight, and his horse about came over backwards. And the chute cut his rope in two. And as Jerry looked back, the rope came undone. And it hit him in the back and put a J on Jerry's face. He's got a scar, a rope scar, J, on Jerry's face. I said, that's God's branding program, Jerry. That's you, man. Knocked him out, knocked him off his horse. I took him to the emergency, to the ambulance, and they headed him for the emergency room. I went to the judge, and Jerry's already talking again. I went to the judge, and I says, hey, that chute malfunctioned, and he needs another calf. And he goes, you need to stop harassing me. Just like that. He says, I'm busy judging this rodeo. You can talk with me after. Well, he gave me permission to talk with after. I took Jared to the doctor. I got back just as the rodeo was over, and I went to him, waited till the rodeo was over, and I said, hey, I want to talk to you about that shoot. And he said, I'm fining you. And he fined me. And I said, look, I just want to show you that the shoot is malfunctioned. He needs another calf. And he takes his flag out of his pocket after the rodeo, throws it on the ground. He says, what's your name? And I said, my name's Russ Weaver, if you want to know. And I said, you need to understand that I'm going to fight this. And he says, we'll see about that. I went directly to Jack Hannum. Jack was the director of the PRCA at the time. I told him how awful this guy's behavior was. It was a small rodeo, and Jack says, it's awful hard to get judges at these small rodeos. And I said, well, you should hold him accountable. That guy's a jerk. He's a bulldogger. Those of you who rodeo know what I mean. Jack says, I'm not going to fine him. And he says, Russ, if you'll just apologize to the guy, I won't levy this fine against you. I said, I didn't start it. He says, well, that's what I'm saying. So I called the guy and apologized to him. And he says, that's all right. Every once in a while, all of us do stupid stuff. He's my neighbor. Uh-oh. Now you know what it's like to deal with your neighbors, huh? I'm not kidding you. Everywhere I showed up, the rest of the summer, no matter where I parked, and bulldoggers don't travel in their own rig. They travel in everybody else's rig. There's four or five of them. They're like a band of gypsies. They'll just jump in from truck to truck. Every place I stopped all summer long, his rig was parked next to my rig. Every single rodeo in the Rocky Mountain rodeos, I mean in the mountain states. I mean, I wanted to get away from. Finally, we made it to the first rodeo of the year, 1st of November in Kansas City. And in Kansas City, they have these concerts in the middle of the rodeos. The lights go out. All the cowboys walk into the center, into the arena, because we get in for free. I walked into the center of the arena. It's dark. You can't see where you are. And I sit down, and I look, and he's sitting right next to where I sit down. He's right there, right there. I said, finally, I've had enough of this. And I just said, God, help me. And I just turned over and I shook his hand. I said, "Man, I see you everywhere." He said, "Yeah, I need to talk to you." He said, "I know you didn't see me, but I was at the church service this morning at the rodeo. And I got the privilege of leading that guy to the Lord." And the reason is, Anna said to me, after about the fifth encounter, "Do you think maybe God's in this?" I said, "No, it's the devil. He's harassing me." And we began to pray. See, things happen at an altar that are bigger and stronger than what we can accomplish in our own weak lives. And we will never find out what God has in mind until we get on our knees before God and ask God to be our Savior, our Lord, our guide, and die daily for the cross. That's how we do it. There's no other cure for finding an altar. You can struggle your entire life, and this week, what's going to happen to you is this. You're going to run into situations that you're going to look at and say, "Oh, why is this?" And you're going to hear the words of Anna ringing into your ears. You think, maybe God's in this? Maybe we should pray. And when you hear that, find a place where you can kneel before God. Or if you can't kneel, if you got bad knees, go sit down somewhere, but make an altar that you can have a conversation and a time with God. Our church is about prayer. Let's go through this. I'm going to finish this in a hurry, and we're going to pray. This is where we hear from God. See, the church's responsibility in the middle of this, I'm not afraid of the coronavirus, guys. I'm just going to tell you, I think we should respect it. We should respect it. I'm not afraid of it. What I'm afraid of is this social injustice business that's about to tear our country apart. I'm afraid of that because it may bring about some things that we regret later on, because at this point, nobody can stand up for truth because they're considered as opposition, and we're at a dangerous point. And our responsibility before God as a church is we need to pray, and we need to love people and care for people. And in loving for people and caring for people, we need to stand up and stand where God wants us to stand and hear from God on how to go about the process. So here's the process. This is the starting point. You find an altar. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," it gets that part, "then I will hear from heaven." And I want you to know, I will hear from heaven, that's a Far East way of saying things. The English way of saying things, "then I will from heaven hear." God lives in heaven. That's his main place of abode. But he's made this great promise to us. If we accept him, he will do part of his living in our hearts, and our hearts will become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And where our hearts are and where the temple is the place where we communicate with God when we're at our altar.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. Because of you, we can stay on the air. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.